Start already?
Yeah.
The last lines that we did yesterday, did we go too fast that we have to go over them or no? It was okay. Does anybody?
I was like, yeah, I can go around.
If Rover, you think we should do it again? No? Okay, fine. So we won't. So then we got to V'David. The word V'David is like a, my Gemara has like a period, and it's V'David. V'David miha v'yada paga delelya emas. Did David even know when Chatzos Laila was? Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu lo avayada dechsiv ki Chatzos Halayla ani yotze besoch Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu quoted HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Paro about Makas Bechor, warning him about Makas Bechor, as he said, around Chatzos Laila I'm going to come. Kichatzos Laila ani yotze betoch Mitzrayim. I'm going to do Makas Bechoros. So my Kichatzos, what does Kichatzos mean? If Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu at around Chatzos, well, Hashem doesn't know if he'll make it on time, or he doesn't know exactly when Chatzos is. Mi ika sveka kame shmaya. Is there a suffix in front of Hashem? He knows exactly when Chatzos is. Hashem wouldn't have said around Chatzos. Ella damale bachatzos. Hashem had said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Chatzos exactly. I'm going to do makas b'choros. Va'ata ihu, and then came him, Moshe Rabbeinu, and said to Paro, Va'amar kichatzos, at around chatzos, meaning, right now, how we're meant to understand this so far, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't seem to know exactly when chatzos is. Alma, we see from here, mesapkale, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure exactly when chatzos was. The Gemara is going to go back to that later, but v'david ha'v'yada, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even know when chatzos is. He has to switch from bachatzos to kachatzos, and David knows when Chatzos is. How could David, the reason why we're getting into this whole topic is because we were looking for proofs of when, if there's three Mishmaros or four Mishmaros. And the proof for four Mishmaros was Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodos Lucha. Moshe Rabbeinu woke up at Chatzos and he said, Kadmur Einai Ashmuros, there's two Ashmuros in front of him. So since he spoke about waking up at Chatzos, that's how we got into this whole topic. So how does David even know when Chatzos is? David have a yada, so the Gemara says, David simna havale. David had a simon to tell him when Chatzos was. You're right, on his own he wouldn't have known, but he had a simon that would tell him when. The Amr of Acha bar Bizna, Amr b'Shimon Chasida, Kinor hayatoloi lamala memitoso shel David. David HaMelech had a kinor, a lyre, hanging over his bed. V'kevan shegia Chatzos Laila, and when Chatzos Laila would come, Bar ruach tzvonis v'nosheves bo umenagin me'ilav. The northern wind would come and blow on it, and that would make it start to play. So Rashi explains, and the Mefarshim quotes a Gemara, which talks about how every 6 hours of the 24-hour day has a different wind that blows then. The ruach tzvonis always blows. But there's one set of 6 hours where only the ruach tzvonis, the northern wind, blows. And I guess the way the kinor was positioned, it would only start to make music if only a ruach tzvonis would blow on it. And those 6 hours started at Chatzos. So therefore, right then, it would start to play. I remember seeing somewhere, I don't remember where, so it's not reliable, but that this might have been something miraculous also. But I'm not sure. The way, whatever I've saw now so far, it just sounds like the wind blew it, and therefore it played. Miyad haya omed v'osek patora ad shiala marashachar. And immediately at Chatzos, then he got up and started to toil in Torah. Now, we had a few opinions earlier of what David did before Chatzos and after Chatzos, and a lot of them, he was up already. So Omed wouldn't necessarily mean he woke up. It doesn't say that he woke up. It just says he got up, and it could be that until then he was doing one thing, and then he started to be Osek in Torah, or then he started to say Shiras v'Tishbachos. Either way, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was waking him up at this point in the Gemara. It could still work with all the other, with the different Amoraim's opinions. Kevan Sha'ala Amar HaShachar. Now, the Gemara is telling us about one specific occurrence. David learned the whole rest of the night, and then when Alos HaShachar came, it happened once that Nichnasu Chachmi Yisrael Etzlo. The Chachamim came to him, and Amrulo Adonenu HaMelech, Am Chi Yisrael Tzricha Parnasa, your nation, Klai Yisrael, they need Parnasa, they don't have enough money, they don't have enough food. Amar Lahem, David said, and that's what the Chachamim are concerned about. The Talmid Chachamim, that wasn't the job of the government. That was the job of the Talmid Chachamim. They were concerned about the Aniyim. Amar Lahem, David said to them, Lechu v'hit parnasu zemizeh. Okay, so do more business and get parnasa from each other. You sell him that and let him sell you that and do trades and make parnasa happen from amongst you, or have the rich people give to the poor people. Get the money flowing within the people. Amrullah, but they said to him, no. Ein ha-komets masbia esa'ari ve'ein ha-bor mismalei mechul yaso. So what's ein ha-komets masbia esa'ari? Three or four perushim will say that are found in the Rishonim. Rashi says, I think, does he say this one? No, actually, I don't know if Rashi talks about it. Komets is referring to like the kmitza, like a handful, like when you bring the korban mincha, there's a kmitza of flour. So a handful of flour isn't masbia an ari, doesn't satiate the lion, meaning there isn't enough money within the people to feed themselves. We don't, it's not going to help to have them start to sell to each other, have the rich, the poor. We don't have the funds within the people for that to happen. Komets masbia an ari, I saw the Tosfos Rush brings two pshatim, I think. One of them was, komets could be the finger. And he says that a lion sucks on his finger before he eats, like a big meal. So the finger doesn't satiate him. So the finger doesn't satiate the lion. We're like sucking on our finger. There's nothing there, but we need the food now. We need the meat. Or another pshat that was in a komets was, a komets could be a cave. He brought a bunch of proofs for that. So the lion's den, his lair, his cave, doesn't have within it to feed him. He has to leave the cave and go and take food. You can't fill a pit up with its own dirt. You can't just dig it and then put it back in. Dig it and put it back in. It's not going to fill up that way. Amar lahem, why do we need both of those mashals? I don't know. I don't remember. Amar lahem, so David HaMelech said to them, okay, so luchu upashtu yedechem bagadud. Go and stretch out your hands with the battalion, with the army. Go to war. Whoa. That's a reason to go to war and start taking from enemy countries? Come on, from neighboring countries? We're not like that. The Jewish people aren't like that. David HaMelech wouldn't have said to do that. So, the Farshim say different things. One pshat, I think this is the Netziv, that, the reason why they were so poor was because they were spending so much money on defense from the neighboring countries. That's it. Now we just like wipe them out so we don't have to waste all this money on defense. Or another pshat was that the reason why they couldn't do commerce with other nations is because the nations that just surrounded them were not letting them go and come out with all of their commerce. So now we have to go to battle with them so we can start doing business with the rest of the world. Anyway, so that was his advice. Now, what do they do before they go to war? Miyad Yoetzim b'Achitofel. The next thing they do after the king told them to do that, they went and took counsel with Achitofel, because he was like the big counselor at the time, had the great advice. V'nimlachim b'Sanhedrin. Then they would get permission from the Sanhedrin. And interestingly enough, Rashi, by v'nimlachim b'Sanhedrin, doesn't just say they got permission from the Sanhedrin. It says, not l'mehem rishus, k'day shi'ispalalu aleihem. That the Sanhedrin would daven for them. I don't know what made Rashi say that. And how did he know to say that? Like, yeah, okay. That Sanhedrin isn't just there to paskin. They're obviously the greatest Talmid Chachamim. We need their tefilos. But Rashi wouldn't need to tell us this musar right now. There has to be something in the words or some question that bothered him that made him say this. And I don't know what it was. Kadeshi's palo, in order, they asked their permission so that the Sanhedrin would daven for them. Okay? Maybe we don't need the Sanhedrin's permission once the king told us to go to war. So why are you going to them? Obviously they're going to say yes, but now they'll be worried for us and they'll daven for us. Maybe that's the pshat. I don't know. V'sho'alim b'urim v'tumim. And the next stage of the passage was they would ask the urim v'tumim, warned by the Kohen Gadol, and through Nevuah and Ruach Kodesh, it would tell them. Now Rashi also says something that, how did he know that? Rashi says, v'sho'alim b'urim v'tumim, im yetzlichu. They're not asking the urim v'tumim if they should go. They're asking the urim v'tumim if this is going to work. Okay? I don't have what to add to that. But they're asking to see if they're going to win. And I was thinking, well, maybe that's the pshat then in Tehillim, when David HaMelech says, Eudof oivai va'asigem. I'm going to chase my enemy and I'm going to capture them. David HaMelech, how do you know? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, because before the battles that they went to, they asked the Urim V'Tumim if they were going to win, and then it would tell them before, and yes. What would have been if the Urim V'Tumim said, no, you're not going to win? Then that whole process would stop?
Yeah, would they just not go to war?
Yeah, like, in other words, they just got it. It's good advice. Sanhedrin said yes. The king said yes. I guess, but if you know you're not going to win, so then why do this? In other words, if they would have asked the Urim and Thummim first, are we going to win? The answer could be yes, you're going to win, but maybe the whole thing is an Avera.
And then the permission first.
So then they have to first find out if we should do this, and they want to find out if they're going to win. I don't know. It's just very interesting. Shmuel, you asked something that
didn't.
Yeah,
what are the Urim and Thummim?
That was the what the Kohen Gadol were. That's what they say. That's Arzal calls it a breastplate.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, like the thing with all the colorful stones,
right.
One for each tribe, and a miraculous, you would ask it a question, and then the letters would light up and give an answer from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the Urim and Thummim. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk as a source that this is the order of the process before going to battle. V'cheinu, no wait. Amar of Yosef, Mikra, what's the pasuk for this? V'achre Achitofel, after Achitofel, who gave them advice, V'niyahu ben Yehoyada, then you have to go to V'niyahu ben Yehoyada, which we're going to say is the head of the Sanhedrin. The Eviatar, and he's the Kohen Gadol, and then V'sar Tzav HaLamelech, Yoav, and then they would go to the head of the army, Yoav, who led the battle. How do we know that each one of those that was their position? Achitofel, Zeyoetz, he was the counselor. V'chinu Omer, as the pasuk says, V'atas Achitofel Ashayatz B'yam Ma'im Kasha Yishal B'dvar Elokim. The advice that Achitofel used to give in those days was just like asking God. He was so wise and so blessed with his ability to give advice. V'ne'ahu ben Yehoyada Zes Sanhedrin. He's the Sanhedrin. He's the Sanhedrin. Rashi explains, Shehaya Av Beis Din. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. You learn the Nevi'im and you see B'ne'ahu ben Yehoyada being David HaMelech Sar Tzava. You don't realize, yeah, his Sar Tzava was also the head of the Sanhedrin. That means that he was the greatest Gadol, one of the greatest Gadol of the time, and he was the head of the army leading it. You don't see that when you read the Nevi'im. You can't learn Navi without Torah Shabbat Peh. The Eviasar, Elu Urim V'tumim. Eviasar, that's referring to the Urim V'tumim because he was the Kohen Gadol. V'cheinu Omer, U'benayahu Ben Yehoyada, Al HaKresi V'al HaPlesi. So in this pasuk, the Urim V'tumim are being referred to as the Kresi and the Plesi. And since it says, B'nei'ahu B'nei'ahu Al HaKresi V'al HaPlesi, that means that he came first before the Kresi and Plesi. You go to the Sanhedrin before you go to the Urim V'tumim. V'lama Nikra Shmam Kresi U'Plesi. And why was the Urim V'tumim called Kresi U'Plesi? What about it deserves that title? Kresi has the word kare, to cut in it. Shekortim divrehem, the very cut, sharp words. It was very concise, one or two or three words, short words. It's like lahavdil, but like when you go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky nowadays and you ask him this long letter of a shayla, he can answer you with like three words, four words, and then you have to like learn those words and really understand where he's coming from. So the Urim V'tumim also was like very short, concise, right away. Like this one of the stories we know about was when Chana was crying, and Eli thought that she was drunk, and then but really he read it wrong. The letters kshera, but he read it shikora. So he thought she was drunk, but really if he read the letters right, it said kshera. She's kasher. Don't be suspicious of her. So it's like just one word kshera. Okay. Plesi shemuflo'im v'divrayim. They were wondrous in their words. Rashi says. But maybe it's not actually. Maybe I said somewhere else. But in other words, it required Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh to be able to read it, to know how to read the letters in the right order also, because it was miraculous. Okay. V'yachar kach, and then starts Tzav HaLamelech Yoav, then they were able to go to battle. Okay? Amar Rav Yitzhak Bar Ada, V'amrei La, Amar Rav Yitzhak Breder of Idi. Mikra. Now we're going back to how we got into all this, which is, how did David know when it was Chatzos? Because of the whole Kinor contraption that woke him up. What's the pasuk? How do we know that happened? Where do we see that in Tehillim? So the pasuk says, Ura Kavodi. David HaMelech says, wake up my Kavod. And the Mepharshim explained that he was talking to himself, and talking to his Nefesh or his Neshama or his Ruach, and telling himself to wake up. Because why is it? Ura Kavodi, Ura Haneva Vakinor, wake me up, Nevel and Kinor. It's interesting. Like he woke up before his alarm and he said, "Nu, play, wake me up. Neva v'kinor, wake me up, Neva v'kinor. Aira shachar. I want to wake up the morning. I don't want the morning to wake me up. I want to be the one to wake up the morning that I'm up first." And it's actually quoted like this a little bit in Shachar Nach. The Rama thing says, we have to wake up the morning. Don't wait for the morning to wake you up. But look at Rashi. When you just learn Gemara without Rashi, we're missing a lot. And here we are, especially. Look at this Rashi. Ura kavodi, al titkabdi b'shena kishar malachim. He says to himself, don't take kavod with sleeping longer like all the other kings. Like we learned yesterday, the king slept into the third hour of the morning. So he thinks, I'm a king. I could sleep. I have people working under me. What do I need to wake up? What do I need to wake up and barely sleep at all? I'm like losing. I'm a king. I should live like a king. So he said to himself, oh, Mr. Kavod, wake up for Hashem. Al titkabdi b'shena. Don't give yourself kavod with shena like the other kings. Ha'ir ha-shachar. Sha'ar malachim ha-shachar ma'oran. V'ani ma'or at the shachar. And the Yerushalmi, when he quotes what David Amach said here, he says he inspired himself by realizing that your kavod is nothing in front of the kavod of Hashem. What are you doing sleeping? Okay. There happens to be a skula. I don't know the makkah for the skula. I have a guess of where the makkah would be, but I'm not going to say it because I didn't see it inside. But there's a famous skula. If you want to wake up in the morning, you don't have an alarm to wake you. You do this with your alarm too. But if you say right before you go to sleep, this pasuk, Ura kavodi, Ura haneva vakinor, Aira shachar, 7 o'clock. Then you're going to wake up at 7 o'clock. And it works all the time. All the time.
That's where we do it.
You say, Ura kavodi, Ura haneva vakinor, Aira shachar, 5:30. You're going to wake up at 5:30.
Is there a video? Has there been
done it before? I don't think it ever failed.
Say that one more time.
All right, let's do it tonight. I'm going
to
try.
I'm not saying delete your alarmy, but...
send this to the chat.
But this, and now it's interesting because this is how David HaMelech woke himself up. And it always worked. David perfectly woke up like this. By the way, if based on the skula, maybe you can learn the Pshat in the Gemara, wasn't that he told the Kino or Nevan Kino to wake me up. It's that he said this before he went to sleep. Kinor, Nevel, wake me up. But at the end of the day, if the skula works, and he said that pasuk, so he didn't need the Nevel and Kinor. So he woke up with the skula, and then the Nevel and Kinor started to play. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe le'olam havayada. Rabbi Zera argues. He says, no. Moshe knew when Chatzos was. He did not know when Chatzos is. But David nami havayada. David also knew when Chatzos was. Doesn't mean that he argues on the kinor contraption, but he knew when chatzos was. He didn't need the kinor to tell him when chatzos was. But came into David Habiyada, kinor lamali. If he knew when chatzos was, why does he need the kinor? Le'it ure mishnate, to wake him up from his sleep. Notice, this is a really important observation. This is Rabbi Zera, and back when Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Zera was the one with the opinion that said, Ar chatzos, laila hayam misnam name kasus. Mikan ve'elachem is gaber ka'ari. He's the one that held David a little bit slept. Slept like a horse, like barely sleeping, always waking up, but a little bit snoozing until Chatzos came. So it makes sense that Rabbi Zera said he actually needed to be woken up. Because the other opinions there held that he was even up beforehand learning or whatever he was doing. So he wouldn't have needed to be woken up. So they couldn't have said the kino was to wake him up. They came into Moshe Havayada. If Moshe knew when Chatzos was, and Hashem knew when Chatzos was, why when he talking to Paro, he said, around Chatzos, Kechatzos. I think Rashi brings this Gemara down on Chumash. Moshe Kasavar, Moshe thought to himself, Shema Yitu Itzdagnine Paro. Maybe Paro's astrologers and wise men, they're going to make a mistake. I'm going to tell them at Chatzos is going to be Makas Bukharos. And according to their, if it doesn't happen when they think Chatzos is, and it happens when Chatzos actually is, Hashem's Chatzos, if they make a mistake, they're going to think, Hashem was off. And they're going to say, Moshe's a liar. V'yomru Moshe Badayu. Moshe's a liar. So it's just like shockingly, is a wake-up call to where the Egyptians were holding. They're in a super high level of wisdom of the world and magic and understanding things. They, like, the Makos were not convincing them completely. The first few Makos, like, we could do that too, and they did little things like that. And even when it came to Makos Bechoros, they saw all these miracles. If Makos Bechoros would have happened 10 seconds off or a minute off of what their expectation of when Chatzos is, then it's not Hashem. Your Hashem's not all able because he didn't do it at Chatzos, and we're not letting you leave Mitzrayim. Like, listen to where they were holding. It's not just Rishus. It's also, they were coming from a super high ability of magic too. Anyway, I saw an unbelievable pshat in the Maral Diskin before Pesach one year that he says, you know why they couldn't figure out when Chatzos was? The pasuk says, "V'yavor Hashem." Hashem passed by the houses, and Rashi says he went from the Gemara. He went from house to house to house, killing the Bechorim. Wait a second. He went from house to house to house, killing the Bechorim, but it happened at exactly Chatzos. So everyone should have died at the same time. It happened exactly Chatzos. What do you mean he went from house to house to house? But only Hashem knows exactly when it's Chatzos for each house, because as the sun is going down, it becomes Chatzos literally like every micro of a second, like it's hitting. So each house it went like that. So like. Only Hashem knows that Chatzos to do it each house at the next fraction of a mill or nothing. I don't know what. So that's why he had to say to Paro Kichatzos, because you're just not going to get Hashem's Chatzos. Okay. And from here we learn out, D'amar Mar, Lamad L'shon Chalomar Eini Yodea. Train yourself. Moshe trained himself. We have to train ourselves. We don't do this. Teach yourself to say, I don't know. Shema Titbada V'tochaz. Because maybe you're going to say an answer when it would have been better. He said, I don't know. And you'll be caught lying, even if you're not lying, in Moshe's case, you'd be caught lying, v'tochaz, you'll be caught. That's how you say in Aramaic, to be caught lying. V'tochaz. So, and by the way, you see from here, don't just say you don't know when you don't know. Like that already we have to work on, to say we don't know when we actually don't know. But even train ourselves to say we don't know when we do know.
Isn't that a lie?
It's good to say I don't know when you do know.
There's always something about it that you don't know.
That's true. I mean, you're just cheating. It's like you're finding a flaw in it.
In what?
Like, oh, like I woke up this morning, you know, on time. But like I didn't actually wake up on time. I got the davening on time, but I was supposed to wake up at 6:30. You know, like. Right. It's still a lie. It's not like it's...
Whenever you give the answer to like someone asks a question, you give the answer, but I don't know. Like, yeah. Look into it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Rav Ashi Amar. Bapaga Orta, he gives another answer. Another answer of why Moshe said Kichatzos and not Bachatzos. If Hashem said them Bachatzos. Rav Ashi Amar. Bapaga Orta Detlesa Nagear Besar Havakoi. When was Moshe talking to Paro? In the middle of the night, at Chatzos, when the 13th day came out and the 14th day was coming in, meaning what we would already call Yud Daled Nisan at night, the previous day was Yud Gimel, the next day is Yud Daled. And when did Makas Bechoros happen? On Tet Vav at night, at Chatzos. So it was on Chatzos and Yud Daled. V'hachika Amar Moshe Li Yisrael. Why is it Li Yisrael? What does the bet say? Does what Moshe was saying, does it change to Paro? No. Talk about it, how it goes with Tzionim. Anyway, so this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Yisrael. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'machar kichatzos ha'layla ki ha'idna. Tomorrow, at chatzos like it is now, just like right now, kichatzos meaning like it is chatzos now, at this time tomorrow, ani yotze b'toch mitzrayim. I'm going out into Egypt and I'm killing the Bechorim. And that's why he said kichatzos.
So he wasn't talking to Paro here.
I don't know. I have to look into what that footnote says, but... Also, when he spoke to Paro, he said, Kechatzos. Could be when he took Klai Yisrael too. Okay, now you'll see soon why this next Gemara is being brought up. It's not only because of about David HaMelech, but it's also going to talk about a little bit when he woke up in this Gemara. Unbelievable Gemara. There's so much depth and so much to learn. Remember this Gemara because it has ramifications on so many areas of Avodas Hashem. L'David Shamra Nafshi Ki Chazid Ani. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's pretty surprising when you read it. That David said, Shamar Nafshi, guard my nefesh, ki chasid ani, I'm pious. And that's really surprising, especially in light of many other psukim in Tehillim where David says, he's nothing, ani tolat below ish, I'm a worm, I'm not a person, I'm an ani, he refers to himself as undeserving. And here he says, guard my nefesh, ki chasid ani, because I'm a chasid. We're going to explain this maybe a little later. Levi Rabbi Yitzchak, it's a machlokas Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak, what was David referring to? When he called himself a chassid, which act that he does was he holding that he's a chassid about? Chad Amar, one of them said, "Kach Amar David lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu." This is what David was saying in front of Hashem. Ribono Sha'olam, lo chassid ani. Am I not considered like a chassid? Shekol Malchei Mizrach Umarav Yishenim Ad Shalosh Shaos. all the other kings of the east and west, and it doesn't mention the north and south, because those are uninhabited areas. But so all the other kings, other people's other pshatim, all the kings of the east and west, they sleep until 3 hours into the day. I'm also a king. V'ani chatzos laila akum lahodos l'cha. Way before, 8 hours before them. The idach and the other amora said, this is the chassidus that he was saying to Hashem. Kach amar dev lifnei kodesh b'chu. Ribono shalom, lo chassid am I not a chassid? Shekol malchim mizrach umarav, yoshim agudos agudos b'kvodam. They all sit around in groups, like royal groups, kings getting together, princes, and they sit with all of their glory and their kavod, and entourage. V'ani, what do I do? What do I involve myself in? Yadai meluchlachos bedam ubeshvir ubeshilya kedei latar ishalabala. My hands are dirty with blood, because people would bring women would bring shilas to him to know whether they're mutter asa to their husband. For example, like women, not all the blood that comes out of them makes them a nida. It depends what color blood. And the question is, did it come from the right area? And there's all different shades, and you'll learn about it before you get married when you learn the halachos. You have to bring the shalas to a rav, and women were bringing their blood to David HaMelech, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that David was perfect in psak. He Hashem imo, the pasuk says. Hashem was always with him. He was always mechavin to the right halacha. Ubeshvir, they brought to them his shvir. I don't know the English word for this. I plan on looking it up in the art school what word they use there. But Rashi explains that a shvir is like a woman, she's miscarrying, something's coming out of her, not a living baby. But the shvir is like the skin encasing, the membrane encasing. And now he has to look at it and decide, like, if it's the shape of a person already, that this is like a miscarriage of a baby and it makes her like she gave birth, and all the tumah that comes with that. Or no, it's just a mush of blood and guts in there, but it's not the shape of a baby, and it's not something that would make her tummy right now of giving birth. So David, it's a complicated question. You have to look at the shvir, and they brought this to him to analyze. Ubashilia and placentas, like sometimes a woman could give birth to a placenta without a baby, Rahman al-Islam. And then the question, and the halacha is that there's no placenta without a baby. Every placenta has a baby. But it depends on how much of a placenta came out. And was it a boy or a girl that was inside? Because that affects how many days she's tummy for. When you learn Parashat Tazria, you'll see that. So he had to answer these type of shilas. And that's what I involved myself in. And all the other kings are sitting around eating their caviar and all the king stuff. I'm getting bloody. The goal is to make women mutter to their husbands. The Ben Yishchai says he was doing this. He has a whole pshat in this gemara, but just a small idea here is that he was trying to get a kapara for sending Uriah to the front lines and having it killed, and then marrying what once had been Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. So now, as a kapara for the level of whatever he did wrong there, Chazal say he didn't sin. But on his level, he was still held accountable, so he was trying to make women mutter to their husbands and be able to do with them as a kapara. Anyway, v'lo od, ella, kol masha ani osa ani nimlach b'mifibosha. Something else, chassidus, that I do in this act is that everything that I do, I don't just take it into my own hands. I can't always take advice from Mifiboshes, my Rebbe, Mifiboshes Rabbi. David HaMelech was a gaon atzum. And Chazal say about him that he was always right in Psak. But still, in his humility, he didn't trust himself and didn't take complete responsibility. After he paskened, he went to Mephibosheth v'omerlo. Mephibosheth Rabbi, Mephibosheth my Rebbe. Yafedanti, Yafechiavti. Did I judge right? Was I mechayev in that money case right? Or Yafezachiti, did I let them off? Was I right about it? Yafiti harti, yafiti meti. V'lo boshti, I wasn't embarrassed to ask him. And there's an added chiddush in this, because usually you ask a shaila from the rav first, if you're not sure, and then you paskin. But if you already paskin, it's really embarrassing to go to the rav and say, this is what I paskin. Was I right? Let's say you weren't. It looks really bad. So usually what you do is you fudge the story and you tell the rav, what should I tell somebody in this situation? And you don't admit that you already passed in that situation. But no, I went to Mephibosheth and I embarrassed myself. I said, I passed in this, and I made her Torah to her husband, and I did this. Did I give the right psak, even though he took the risk that he could be wrong? V'lo boshti, and I wasn't embarrassed. And that also is an act of chassidus. It was Mephibosheth his Rebbe or not? And if Mephibosheth was his Rebbe, how could he call him by his name? How could you say Mephibosheth? You can't go call a Rebbe by your name. You can't go to Rabbi David. You can't go, I'm sitting in the seat. So one of the answers, but he does say Rebbe. Mephibosheth's Rebbe. But really, it's not enough. You got to say the Rebbe's name first. Even in those yeshivas, like you know what I'm talking about, they call it Rabbi David, not Rabbi David, you know, Rabbi Shmuley, Rabbi Hillel, whatever they call him by the first name. So, but they still put the name Rabbi first. So the Ben Yishchai says a beautiful pshat. Wait a second. Anyway, what was David Melech doing paskening if his Rebbe's there? You're not allowed to paskin when your Rebbe is around. You're not allowed to stay with the halachas if your Rebbe's around. That's a halacha. What's David Melech doing? How is he allowed to do this? So this is what you only have to put the name Rebbe first if it's your Rebbe Muvhak. If it's your Rebbe Muvhak. But if it's Tama Rebbe, you learn something from him, but he's not your main Rebbe, then you can put the name Rebbe second. And David HaMelech wants to show people this is why I'm able to paskin, and even though he's in the area, I'm still able to paskin because he's not my Rebbe Muvhak. And the way that he shows that to people is by saying Mephibosheth's Rebbe, not putting the name Rebbe first. And that way people understood what it was that he was doing. I'm Rebbe Shua, Braid the Rav Idi, Mikra. Where do we see this in the pasuk that David did these acts of chassidus? Va'adabra be'idosecha neged malachim v'lo evosh. And I spoke in your statutes in front of kings and I wasn't embarrassed. What's the pshat here? One pshat that people say is malachim is referring to Tamid Rechamim, like Mephibosheth, because man malcha, rabbanon, Chazal say, who are the kings? Rabbanon are the kings. They really run the world because their Torah learning is what runs the world. So I spoke Torah in front of malachim, Mephibosheth, v'lo evosh, and I wasn't embarrassed. Or he's hinting at both chassidus over here. One is that I learn Torah and involve myself in Torah while the kings are all sleeping, and I'm not embarrassed, and that's the whole story with Mephibosheth. Tana, Reb Raisa that says, Lo Mephibosheth Shmo, his real name wasn't Mephibosheth, Ella Ish Boshes Shmo, his real name was Ish Boshes. V'lama nikra Shmo Mephibosheth, how do you get that nickname or that change of the name to Mephibosheth? Shayim Mevayesh Pnei David Bahalacha. Because he used to embarrass David's face in halacha, because sometimes he would tell David that he's wrong, or that he didn't judge right, and that would embarrass David. So Mephi Boshes, from his mouth, came Busha to David HaMelech, and that's how he got that title. Lefika, because David humiliated himself, and lowered himself, and brought the shalas to Mephi Boshes, Zacha David v'yatza mimenu kilav. He was zochet to have a tremendous Talmud Chacham son come out of him named Kilav. And if you remember the Gemara Bava Basra, at the end of the first parak says, who are the four people that never ever sinned ever? They never sinned. And they only died because human beings have to die and the sin because of the sin of Adam Arisha. But otherwise they had no sin. Four people. Do you remember who that list is? Four people that never sinned.
Samuel Miller's father?
Yishai, right?
That's all I know.
What? No, that's the actual instrument. It was Yishai, Amram, Moshe's father, Kilav, David's son, Kilav. Interesting, David's like, who's Kilav? Oh, and who's the other one? It was Yishai, and Binyamin, I think. I think Binyamin also. But that's really, it's interesting, because two out of the four had great sons come out of them. Yishai had David and Melech, and Amram had Moshe Rabbeinu. They never sinned. And now we see, how is David zochet to have son, Kilav, who was a great Talmid Chacham and also never sinned? How is he zochet to that? Because he humiliated himself, he was ready to humiliate himself and not take the kavod and like say, am I right? Did I judge right? And that was a big thing. Amram also embarrassed himself because when he got remarried to Yocheved, because on Miriam, his little daughter's advice that, what about the girls? Part of killing the girls too. And he got remarried. That was basically embarrassment. He's saying, I made a mistake. My 6-year-old daughter corrected me. And then everybody else got married because he was a good little daughter. So Amram humiliated himself also to get remarried. And he was up to Moshe Rabbeinu right away. The Amram Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Kilav Shemo, even Kilav, that wasn't his actual name. Ella Daniel Shemo. His name was Daniel, not Daniel from Sefer Daniel. Daniel. V'lama nikra Shemo Kilav. So then why was another name Kilav? Sheyam machlim p'nei Mephibosheth v'halacha. So Kilav, you see the machlim. Machlim is to embarrass. He used to embarrass Mephibosheth in halacha. Meaning David's son Kilav was so great in paskening that it would embarrass Mephibosheth. Because he would get a better psach in Mephibosheth. So That's what David was zochet to coming out of him. How do you say the name Kilav? Machlim, to embarrass Av for his father, maybe? Maybe for his father. Or Av could also be like a Rav. So you embarrass the big Rav Mephibosheth. What does Rashi say? Rashi must say something here, I forgot. Yeah, he does. First wide line, J. Machlim Pinei Mephibosheth, Kill Av, Machlim Es Pinei Harav, Shahaya Av Behoraos. Right? Mephibosheth was an Av Behoraos. He was a father in Paskening, and he embarrassed the father in Paskening, the Mephibosheth. Okay. The Olav Amar Shlomo B'chachmasa, Shlomo Melech, David's son, says about Kilav, Bini, Im Chacham Libcha Yismach Libi Gam Ani. If your heart is wise and you're a Tam Chacham, my heart will also be happy. And that Shlomo is expressing how David felt about Kilav. The Omer Chacham Bini, V'samach Libi, V'ashiva Chorfi Davar. If my son is a Tam Chacham, my heart is happy. V'ashiva Chorfi Davar. Those that embarrassed me, I'll have what to respond to them. Meaning, if he boshes, now he'll be responded to when he sees that my son is greater than him. Okay. That all seemed to be a side point, because we mentioned Mephibosheth's name, but it could be that it came up because another reason why David was able to call him Mephibosheth, because really it wasn't his name, his real name was Ishbosheth. So to say Mephibosheth is like saying Chazonish in front of the Chazonish. His name wasn't Chazonish. They say Chofetz Chaim instead of front of Chofetz Chaim. His name is Chofetz Chaim. So maybe saying Mephibosheth was not a problem because his name is not Mephibosheth, Ishbosheth. But David, Mi kari lenafshe chassid? Did David HaMelech really refer to himself as a chassid? How could it be that he referred to himself as a chassid? But we see that he himself said, Lulei ha'amati liros b'tov Hashem be'eretz chayim. If only I could trust that I'm going to get to have Gan Eden. I'm going to see tov Hashem, the goodness of Hashem be'eretz chayim, in the land of the eternal. The ton of Mishmeh Rabbi Yossi, and we have a price in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Lama Nakura Lule, if you look in your Tehillim, there are dots over the word Lule. Whenever there are dots, it's coming to tell you that not exactly. Meaning, David Melech is saying, if only, the dots are over the word Lo. Meaning, Lo ha'amad deliras b'tov Hashem. David wasn't sure, and didn't think he was going to necessarily get to Gan Eden. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm convinced, I know, I'm guaranteed that you pay good schar to the tzaddikim in the next world. But I don't know if I have a portion amongst those tzaddikim in the next world or not. I don't know if I'm going to get Olam Haba. So how could it be that he called himself a chassid if we see elsewhere that he wasn't even sure he's going to get Olam Haba? Shema Yigrom Hachet. Rashi explains the pshat of this is, he knew that now I'm a chassid, but still, I still don't know if I'm going to get to Gan Eden, because maybe before that I'm going to sin. Maybe the skin is going to make me lose my track record. And we see that that could happen, that somebody could lose out what they were meant to have. The Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, the Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Rami, he asked a stira in Psukim. Rami, he asked a contradiction. Ksiv says in one place that Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu when he had the dream with the ladder, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guard you wherever it is that you go. You're going to be okay. Ksiv then a few parshas later, when he's coming back from Laban's house and he hears that Esav is coming with 400 people, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. Yaakov was very afraid. How could he be afraid? Hashem promised I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Why would Yaakov be afraid? Answers the Gemara, Amar, because he said, Shema Yigur Machet. Yeah, maybe Hashem promised me, assuming I'd be good. But maybe I've sinned and I've lost the promise. Maybe I've sinned and I've lost the promise. And now I can get hurt. So you see that somebody could lose something that they were meant to have and at one point did have, they could still lose it. That's what Yaakov is afraid of. The Rambam says that this was a sin of David of Yaakov. Yaakov sinned when he was afraid of Esav coming. How could the Rambam say that Yaakov was sinned when he was afraid of Esav coming? If we know from the Gemara, the reason why he was afraid was because maybe I have a sin. That's coming from Yerushalayim, no? And the answer is, Rav Chana Wasserman says, and Rabbeinu Yonah says, also, let's just say that first, as a Rishon, that, but if he would have had even more bitachon, then he wouldn't have been afraid of his sin. That's a complicated sugya that I don't want to keep you here for too long, so we'll stop, but there's on that point, but if it matters to you, then you could ask me later. Okay. Kedatanya, we see a brisa that shows you that there is that a sin can make you lose a promise. Ad Yavor Am Hashem, Ad Yavor Am Zukanita. The pasuk says Ad Yavor, the nation of Hashem, twice. So what's it referring to? What's twice? Ad Yavor Am Hashem Zubia Rishona. That's referring to the first time they entered Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua bin Nun and miraculous miracles. Ad Yavor Am Zukanita, the second phrase of the pasuk, Zubia Shnia. That's referring to the second time they went back to Eretz Yisrael after the Gullus of the Bayis Rishon, when they went back for Bayis Sheni with Ezra. So there's like a hekesh between them in the pasuk. Mikan amru chachamim. The chachamim say, you know what was supposed to have happened? Reuim hayu Yisrael leyasas lam nes b'mei Ezra kederek shnas lam b'mei Yoshua bin Nun. When Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael the first time with Yoshua bin Nun, there was tremendous miracles. The Yarden split. The walls of Yericho crashed down when they just blew shofar. The miracle after miracle in the conquering of the country was supposed to be like that also the second time around, as we see in the Hekesh and the Pasuk, but it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way, and Rashi describes that even when they went back to Eretz Yisrael, they were still subjugated under the kings of Paras and Persia who ruled the country. Why did that happen? Says the Gemara, Ela Shagar Machet. The chait made them lose their promise of what was meant. They made them lose what they were meant to have. So you don't always get what you're meant to have. So David HaMelech knew that maybe I'm a chassid now, but it doesn't mean that I'm for sure going to get Olam Haba. And he's afraid that Shema Yigvah Machait, and I'm going to lose it. There's a lot of things I want to tell you in this, but I know that you'd be afraid that we're not going to finish the next Amr. Well, I don't know what time we started, if we want to try and finish within an hour. What time did we start? Can we say we started at 2?
I think it was at 1.
Was it? Okay, so we also started. We did the bottom.
We started at like 1:30.
Let's continue. Anyway, you raise your hand if you don't want to finish the full daf. If we go, or you just finish the full daf, right? Yeah. The Chachamim Omrim Ad Chatzos. Now we're back in that phrase in the Mishnah that you have until Chatzos to finish Kriyat Shema Arvis. Chachamim Kaman Svira Lehu. Who do the Chachamim hold like? What? B'shach B'cha either means when people go to sleep, or B'shach B'cha means as long as people are sleeping during the night. Who does he hold like? Ikar B'Lezer, that it's when people go to sleep, Spirulu, he holds like him. Lemakor B'Lezer, then he should say Kor B'Lezer until the end of the first Hashmura. That's when people finished going to sleep. V'ikar Rabbi Gamliel, Spirulu, and if he holds like Rabbi Gamliel, that it's as long as people are still sleeping, Lemakor Rabbi Gamliel, he should just say Rabbi Gamliel until Alos HaShachar. Where could you come up with the Shir of Chatzos? La'olam k'rabban gamliel, he'll take rabban gamliel sphere lehu until alos, as long as people are still sleeping. V'had de ka'amei ad chatzos, now which they said ad chatzos, k'dei l'harcha k'sa adam min avera, in order to distance a person from avera, really you have until alos, but they want to make a fence that you don't by accident come in to go past that. K'dei tanya, as we see from the following brisa. Before I even read, we should all be bothered. Like you see in the following brisa? Like you see in the following brisa? We said a Mishnah. We said this in the Mishnah already. Why did the Gemara even ask who the Chacham hold like? Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Lezer? Why did this Gemara make any sense? Wasn't this the Mishnah? Didn't Rabbi Gamliel's sons come home late from a party? And they said, what do we do? And he said that not only do I say you can say Kriyat Shema now, but even the Chachamim, when they said Archatzos, they really meant Ad Alos HaShachar, and they only said Archatzos, Kedil Lahark Azam Min Arvera. So we never even should have had a question who the Chacham hold like. And once we do have a question, we shouldn't be answering with a brisa. We have our mission to answer. What is going on in our Gemara? Should I tell you an answer? Should we just keep on going? The easiest answer, I think, is the following. The Yerushalmi actually holds that the Pshat in the Mishnah isn't what we thought it was. The Pshat in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Gamliel said the earlier Chachamim who said Chatzos really meant Alos HaShachar. When they said Chatzos, they were just making a fence. But the Chachamim in our Mishnah hold Ad Chatzos. And you're not allowed after Chatzos. Only after Chatzos. You're not Yotze after Chatzos. You're not Yotze. They don't say Ad Alos HaShachar. Rabbi Gamliel wasn't coming to give Pshat of the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel was coming to say the Chachamim, of the earliest the Chachamim, even when they said Chatzos, it was just a fence. But the Chachamim of our Mishnah said, no, they weren't just saying it to be a fence. When the Chachamim say Chatzos, the Chachamim of our Mishnah say, when the Chachamim say Chatzos, they mean Chatzos. You have to, the Chatzchila and B'diavet, finish before Chatzos. The Gemara Bavli doesn't hold that. When we get the Daf Test, you're going to see that Rabbi Gamliel's kids asked him, we want to be Yosei like the Chachamim, not like you. We want to be Yosei like the Rove. We're supposed to go after the Rove. Not because you're our father, but we're supposed to go after the Rove. Rove and Yachid, you go after the Rove. We want to go to the Rove. Abba, what should we do? We say, no, even the Rove holds that you can still say it, because he said that's what the early Chum say. He argued what the early Chum hold. But the Chumra of Mishnah hold, no, you have to finish before Chatzos. So this is where our Gemara Bavli thought that maybe the Pshat is like the Rishami, and it's proven from a Braisa that it's not, meaning our Gemara Bavli said, who do the Chachamim actually hold like? The Holy Rabbi Lezer, the Holy Chachamim, because we're not sure. We could learn, like, if they actually said in Techatzos and you're not allowed at Techatzos, where would you get that opinion from in Techatzos and you're not allowed at Techatzos? What is the Pshat B'Shapacha? So then the Gemara answers, no. It's like what the Gemara is going to tell us later on Daf Tes is, that they were just making a fence to save you from sinning. Like Rabbi Gamliel said, the Pshat in the early Chachamim was, that actually is the Pshat in the Chachamim in our Mishnah. And I'm going to prove that to you from the following Braisa, Kitatanya. If you didn't get that, you could ask me more later. Kidatanya. Hachamim asu siag ledivrayim. The Hachamim made a fence for their words. Kidei shelo yehei adam bamina said that we don't want the following scenario to happen. We don't want a person comes back from the field, his work, be'erev, at night. V'omer, then he might say to himself, Eilech lebeisi, I'm going to first go to my dorm room. I'm going to go to my house. V'ochel kima, v'eshtek kima, I'm going to eat a little bit. I'm going to drink a little bit. V'ishan kima, I'm going to take a little nap before pre-shir. V'achar kach, ekra kriyachma v'espalel. And then I'm going to say, kriyachma, we're talking about the night, not before pre-shir, sorry. Then, so I'm going to go after work, I'm going to eat a little bit, drink a little bit, take a little bit of nap, I'm a little bit tired right now. And then I'm going to wake up, I'm going to say kriyachma v'espalel, and I'm going to daven marev. And then what will happen? V'chotaf doshena, the sleep takes over him. V'nimtza yashin kalalayla, and then he ends up sleeping through the entire night. We don't want that happening. They're worried about that chachamim. Avo, this is what we want to happen, says the Braisa. Adam bamina sada be'erev. He comes home at night. Nichnas the beis hakenesses. He should go to shul first. Don't go home first. You go home first, you're goner. Don't go back to the dorm room. Go straight to shul. Imragil likros kore. Imragil lishnos shoneh. If you're on the level of that, just the Shnai Mikra, so do your Shnai Mikra. If you could learn even more than the Shnai Mikra, you're able to learn Mishnah, so you're able to learn Gemara, then you should be learning Gemara. V'kore kriyach, not instead of Shnai Mikra, everybody's chayim Shnai Mikra. The Shnai Shona. And then after you learn for a while, then kore kriyachma umispalel, and then go home and eat. V'ochel pito umavarech. Then eat and bench. Eat and bench. V'kala over, finishes the price of V'kala over al divrei chachamim, chayav misa. Whoever goes against the Rabbanans is chayav misa. Obviously not misa's bezdin, but misa b'dei shemayim. Misa b'dei shemayim. So this is all a brisa. And we're bringing this brisa, why are we bringing this brisa? To show you that chachamim made a fence for their words. And as a machlokes rishonim, how to understand what we're supposed to take out from this brisa. The Rashba says, this brisa is only talking about how you're not allowed to eat and take a nap or sleep before saying Kriyat Shema Sha'arvis. Once it's mind for Kriyat Shema comes, you're not allowed to eat. Or even from a half an hour before that, the halacha is. You're not allowed to eat beforehand. And that's an example of a fence the Chachamim made. And that's all the Brice is talking about. But we're saying, look, that's an example of how the Chachamim make a fence. Also, when they said Chatzos, they were making a fence. Others say that no, in this Brice itself, we see a little bit the idea of Chatzos here, because they're saying, we don't want you pushing off Kriyat Shema. We want you saying it earlier. We don't want you to go and do other things first. We want you to say it earlier. And that's what they meant when they say you have to finish it by Chatzos, and that was their fence. Either way, you see the idea of a fence. This is really important, the halacha, because this is the brisa that we learn out, that you're not allowed to eat before Maariv, when you haven't said Kriyat Shema Sha'arvis yet. And it's an unfortunately not enough kept halacha. Who knew this before? How are we allowed to go eat supper at 7 o'clock if we haven't said Kriyat Shema Sha'arvis? And it is already Zman Kriyat Shema Sha'arvis, and we're davening at 8 o'clock. So one heter is if you have a minyan kavua. If you have a minyan kavua, a set minyan. But a minyan kavua means that you would stop what you're doing to go to that minyan. It's not that just you usually go to that minyan, but sometimes you go to another minyan. Like, well, sometimes I daven at Sfardi Bay, sometimes I daven in Machalev, and sometimes I daven at 8 o'clock. That's not a minyan kavua. And then I'm not sure if you're allowed to eat. You have to ask Rabbi David if you're allowed to eat at dinner. It's a question. But if you have a minyan kavua, then the Shomer Zalman Orbach says it's okay. If you have a shomer to remind you, don't forget to say Kriyat Shema, then you're allowed to eat. But your shomer is not allowed to eat. The shomer's not allowed to eat.
Tell them to bottom of your phone.
What?
Tell them to bottom of your phone.
Okay, so could your alarm be from Biyashomer? That's a good shout out.
The nurse said, yeah, for Hanukkah.
Okay, fine. So then if it could be for Hanukkah, I imagine it could be for this too. So if your alarm in your phone says, Marv, 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 and you keep your phone with you, you don't keep it in your dorm room. So then I guess that could be, it could probably be your reminder from Marv if you're a guy that davens all different Marvs everywhere. But it is a halacha that you can't start eating before Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis. Look at Tosfos. Require Kriyat Shema Mispalo. Mikan Mashma Shemisha Shegi Azman Kriyat Shema Shal Laila. She'ein Lo Lecho Su'uda. Ach Yika Kriyat Shema Vispalo Arvis. Look at this. Two big chidushim, into a lot of chidushim here. One of them is, Ein Lo Lecho Su'uda. Ein Lo Lecho Su'uda. He didn't say you can't eat anything. You can't have a su'uda. You can't have like a meal. So, a snack you could have, but supper? Supper is a su'uda. Washing is for sure a su'uda. If this is your meal, this is your supper, so it sounds like a su'uda. I don't know, you could answer with David, but he says su'uda. The Taz says, no, anything you eat, because look, the Brisa said, I'm going to eat a little, I'm going to drink a little. It says, Ocha kima v'ishta kima. We don't want you to eat a little and drink a little. But Tosa says su'uda, and most of the poskim say su'uda. And another thing you see over here is the iser of starting to eat only comes when mishashi giyazman kriyachma. But the halacha is not like Tosfos. All the other poskim say samuch the kriyachma, meaning already from a half an hour before. But Tosa seems to say starting from the zman of kriyachma. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. Let's go right there. Maishna b'chol duchta delo katani chayev misa. Maishna hacha dektani chayev misa. If every time you break the words of the Rabbanan, b'chol duchta, duchta is place. If every place you go against the chacham, you're always chayev misa. So why only now did they mention it? It's not like we mention this in every mission, every brisa that's talking about the Rabbanan. Why now are they mentioning it? Why do they now need to instill the fear in us? Ibai seima mishum de'ika onashena. Because we're worried about being accidentally taken over by sleep. Sleep is really powerful and people are very sleepy. And like you see, we don't have all of our people here right now. So it could take over. So that's why now is a good time to install in the fear of Chai Misa. V'yibayis eimah la'fuki b'man da'amar tfilas arvis rishus. It's coming to go against those that say, oh, Marv is just rishus. You don't always have to daven or whatever it is. So people might be lax in it. So in order to counter people being lax in it, we say, you're chayav misa if you don't follow what the Rabbanan say. Remember that. Kamashman, you see from here, from this brisa, that it's a chova. Amar mar. Now he's quoting a quote from this brisa. Kore kriyat shema umispala. We want the guy to say shema, and then say shmona esrei. Oh, that's the order of how marav goes. First comes shema, and then comes shmona esrei. You weren't surprised, because that's how we do it. But it actually is a machlokas amoraim tarnaim. How to daven mariv, and this is a support for Rabbi Yochanan. Misiela le Rabbi Yochanan. This is a support for Rabbi Yochanan. Don't Rabbi Yochanan. Ezu ben haolam haba zeh somek ulo letfilah shal arvis. You know how in the morning in Shacharis everyone agrees they have to be somek gal yisrael, the bracha gal yisrael, the berachas kriyat shema, right into Shmona Esrei. You can't stop in the middle at all. You have to go right into Shmona Esrei. Gal yisrael, Shmona Esrei. Says Rabbi Yochanan, same thing at night. Also at night we have to be somek gula tefila, gal yisrael to Shmona Esrei, even at night. So you see from Rabbi Yochanan, that's the order. First comes Shema, and berachas kriyat shema, gal yisrael, and then Shmona Esrei. But Bishua ben Levi Omer, no, it doesn't go like that. Tfilos be'emtza tiknum. The two Shmona Esreis of Shacharis and Mariv are in the middle. Or all the tfilos, Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv, all those Shmona Esreis are in the middle, and outer and on either side of them are Shmas. So in the morning, first you have Shema, and then you have Shmona Esrei. Mincha, there's no Shema, just Shmona Esrei. Mariv, he says, first Shmona Esrei, and then Shema. So on either end of the day, you start the day with Shema, you end the day with Shema, and in the middle are the Shmona Esreis. That's what Bishua ben Levi says to do. He says you don't have to be stomach gula tefillah at night. The opposite. We have to do it like this. But my kamiflugi, what are they arguing in? What's the source of their machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara gives two suggestions. Ibai se makra, ibai se masvara. It could be they're arguing on pshat and a pasuk. Could be they're arguing on a svara. Ibai se masvara. We're going to start with the svara. Rabbi Yochanan savar geula meorta namihavi. The geula from Mitzrayim also happened at night. It's true, they only left Mitzrayim in the morning, in the light of day, but Makas Bechoros happened at night. And Parah, I think, said to leave at night, but they didn't. They waited. They didn't leave right away. They waited till the morning to leave. I'm not leaving when Parah tells me. Leave when Hashem tells me. Hashem sent to leave in the bright of day. We're not running out like Ganavim, like we're in trouble. We have to escape. We're leaving in the day. But the Geula was also at night. It was also at night because that's when Makas Bechoros happened. Ella Geula Malyata Lohavia Ella Atzafra. But the Geula Malyata, the Shalim, the complete Geula, was only in the Tzafra, was only in the morning. But there still was a part of Geula already at night, and therefore it's important at night also to be Somech Geula Litfila. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Savar, Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds, Kevin de Lohavia Ella Mitzafra. Since the real Geula was only in the morning, the night really Lohavia Geula Malyata. So at night it really wasn't a Geula. And therefore, it's not so important for us to make sure to be so mekeula l'tefila, and that's why at night we don't really have to. So they're really arguing whether what happened at night was considered enough of a geula for us to map it and be so mekeula l'tefila. V'ibay seima kra, or if you want, you could say that it's a pasuk. And they're arguing on Ushnei and Mikra Echad Darsh. They're both learning from the same pasuk. Tzeiv b'shapach of kumecha. There's a hekesh between the Shema of going to sleep and the Shema of waking up. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Makish Shriva Lekima Makima Kriyat Shema V'Achak Tefila Av Shriva Nami Kriyat Shema V'Achak Tefila. Rabbi Yochanan says that just like in the morning, first comes Kriyat Shema and then comes Tefila. So since B'Shapach of Kumecha, there's a hekesh between when you go to sleep and when you wake up. So too, when you go to sleep, first should be Kriyat Shema, then Tefila, just like it is in the morning. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi learns a different thing from the hekesh. Savar Makish Shriva Lekima. Makima kriyachma samach lemitaso. Avshrivanami kriyachma samach lemitaso. Just like when you wake up in the morning, kriyachma is close to when you got out of bed. So to at night, kriyachma should be close to when you get into bed. And that's what we learn out from Beshapacha of Kumecha. Kriyachma should be close to when you're in your bed, and therefore kriyachma should be last, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's a really, really important Rashi. Every Rashi is important, but the really important Rashi that explains what is important of being Somek Geula Latvila. And he says that's why did you say Geula Latvila? Because when you talk about Geulas Mitzrayim, it's like tremendous Zakar Satov to Hashem, and referring to the miracles that he did for us even thousands of years later, etc. And Rashi gives a mashal, and he says it's like you're knocking on the king's door, your king who loves you and you love him, and he opens the door and then you walk away. And then you walk away. What is that? You have to now ask, you have to praise him and ask for things and communicate with him. In other words, when we mention Geulas Mitzrayim, it's like knocking on Hashem's door. It gets his attention and makes us close to him. And he opens the door and he's ready to accept our tefillos. Now's the time for Shemona Esrei. So it's so important. You have to be some of Geulas Tefillah. In light of that, Rashi, and Rashi didn't make this up, there's a Gemara that says this. It's to me, it's just so surprising then when you talk about Geulas Mitzrayim at night. So why wouldn't it be important that to say Shemona Esrei right after Geulas Mitzrayim? Because maybe it wasn't a complete Geula at night. The complete Geula was in the morning. Okay, but I'm talking about the whole story right now. I'm not only thinking about what happened at night. And even if I am, but enough so that now I didn't excite the king enough that he's right there by the door and that if he opens it, I have to start saying Shemona Esrei. It's really unbelievable that it's only at the time that Yetzias Mitzrayim actually happened, in the morning, according to Bishop and Levi, that it would have this knocking on the door mashal, you know, would take effect. Okay, anyway, back inside the Gemara. Mativ Mar Breid de Ravina. Mar Breid de Ravina asked the following question. We have a Mishnah. It says, Be'erev Mevarech Shtaim Lefanea U'Shtaim Lacharea. At night, Kriyat Shema has two brachos beforehand and two brachos afterwards. Gal Yisrael is not the last bracha before Shemona Esrei, I'm sorry to tell you, says the Mishnah. There's another bracha called Hashkivenu. Doesn't that get in the way? V'i Amriz Bari Lismoch. And if you say that you need to be Somech Geula Tefillah, like Rabbi Yochanan said, Halo Kasamech Geula Tefillah. You're not being Somech Geula Tefillah. They're not up against each other. Da Bari Lamema Hashkivenu. Because you need to say Hashkivenu. That's the second bracha after Kriyat Shema. Amrei, the Rabbanan answered, no. Kiven to takinu Rabbanan hashkivenu. Once the Rabbanan made a takana of the bracha hashkivenu, ki geula arichta damya. It became like an extended geula. It's still considered like talking about the geula. And one of the Mefarshim explained, the Ben Yishai, maybe, I don't remember, Hashkivenu was a tefillah that Klai Yisrael said when they were afraid of being hurt by the Malach that was killing the Mitzvim during Makas Becharos. So it's still like, and we're saying that tefillah now because it's nighttime and there's mazikim and it's a dangerous time, the nighttime. So we're saying Hashkivenu also, so it's still like in reference to that Geula. De'ilo temach, if you don't say that pshat, that once the Rabbeinu made a takana of an added bracha after Klai Yisrael, Hashkivenu, that it's considered like an extension of it. D'ilo temach, if you don't say that, Shacharis, also in the morning we have the similar question. Heichi mati samich, how are we able to be samich? Geula tefila. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan also said over there, Batchila omer Hashem sefasai tiftach. Before you start Shemana Esrei, he threw in a pasuk, Rabbeinu threw in a pasuk, Hashem sefasai tiftach. Ulevasof, and at the end of Shemana Esrei, omer yu l'ratzon imrei fi. So doesn't Hashem sefasai tiftach get in the way? No. Ela hasam over there. Kevin the takinu rabbanon lememer Hashem sefasai tiftach. Once the rabbanon made that, they couldn't say that. Ketfila richta damia. It's like an extension of the tefillah. It's like one long tefillah. Hachanami. Let's say the same thing. Amarv. Kevin the takinu rabbanon lememer Hashkibenu. Once it's said Hashkibenu, kegeula richta damia. It's like an extended Gal Yisrael. Can I continue? Amar Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Avina. Kala Omer Tehila la David b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim muftach lo shu ben olam haba. This is talking about Ashrei. Ashrei is really the mizmor in Tehillim that starts off with Tehila David, and the pasuk Ashrei is a Ashrei. The first two pasukim Ashrei Shem Vitecha. The next one Ashrei Shekakalo is appendage from another mizmor, but the mizmor of most of the mizmor of Ashrei is Tehila la David, and it goes to the Alephes. Our mincha being the Aleph. Tehila David b'chol yom. Whoever says Tehila David three times a day, shalosh pa'amim, muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. He's guaranteed that he's going to be an olam haba. Maybe we're saying this because we just said that whoever summoned Gula Tefila is a ben olam haba. So we're talking about something else that makes you muftach to be a ben olam haba. My time. What's the reason? What's so good about it? Ilei mamishum de'ati ba'alef beis, because it has a pasuk for every letter in the aleph beis. So it's like we're praising Hashem with all the letters of the aleph beis. So it's like we're saying to Hashem, we're praising with everything, the whole Aleph Beis, and that's something really holy. Neima Asher Tmei Mederech. Oh, just say Mizmor Kuf Yud Tet in Tehillim. That also has all of the Aleph Beis. It actually has eight pesukim for Aleph, eight pesukim for Bet, eight pesukim for Gimel, etc. So say that Mizmor Kuf Yud Tet, the longest Mizmor in Tehillim. The Atya B'tmanya Apin, because that has eight times each letter of the Aleph Beis. So that's not why we say Ashrei. That's not what's so extra special about it. Ela mishum de'isbe poteach et yadecha, because it has that really important and holy and central pasuk in our lives. Poteach et yadecha mespiel chochai ratzon. Hashem opens his hand and feeds every creature from the lowest of birds and bugs to the highest level of creatures. Every human being, he takes care of all of us. Shkacha pratis, everything is from Hashem all the time. We have to say that every single day. But if that's the reason, then Neima Halal Agadol. Say that Mizmor in Tehillim called Halal Agadol Dechsibe has the pasuk Notein Lechem Lechol Basar. He also over there refers to Hashem gives bread and sustenance to all flesh. So what's special about Ashrei? Ela Mishum De Ispe Tarte, because it has both. Because it has all Alabis and it has the pasuk Poseach Hazir Decha Maspil Chachai Ratzon. This has a nafkamina, big nafkamina halacha. In the halacha is that if you don't have kavana when you say patecha didecha, you have to go back and say it again. You have to go back and say it again. And if you only remember later in davening, at the end of davening, you have to go back and at least start saying from patecha didecha until the end of Ashrei. But you can't not have kavana in that pasuk. That pasuk was the reason why we're saying Ashrei. It's the central pasuk in Pesukei Dezimra, is to make sure to have kavana at least in that pasuk. Afterwards, Rabbi Yochanan, Neima lo ne'amar nun ba'ashrei. We have all the letters of Aleph Beis, but there's no nun. The Bnei Shiesh Ba Mapalasan Shel Soni Yisrael. We're speaking as a euphemism. We don't want to refer to the downfall of Klai Yisrael. So we say the sinners of Israel, the enemies of Israel. Sorry, the enemies of Israel. But nun stands for nefila, falling. And we don't want there to be an allusion to Klai Yisrael falling. Because there is a pasuk that there's a nun talking about Klai Yisrael falling. Tativ Nafla Lo Tosif. There's a pasuk that could be read that they'll fall and not get up. We're taught, I think, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Mitzvah Mokat too, that Nafla lo tosif kum, Nafla, but they're not going to fall anymore. Get up, Besu Yisrael, because they're not going to fall anymore. But either way, we don't want the letter Nun that references Klai Yisrael falling. But Ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael Metarze Lahachi, they explain the puzzle like this: Nafla V'lo Tosiv Limpel. Oh, he does it over here too. Sorry, V'lo Tosiv. They're not going to continue to fall. That's it. They fell once. They're not going to fall anymore when the Bayis Shlishi comes. Kum Besulas Yisrael. Amar Rav Nachman Bayitzak Afilu Hachi. Even so, that he skipped the nun, Chazar David v'samchan beruach hakodesh. He like picked up Klai Yisrael. He made a reference to the hidden nun of their falling in the Atrei, because the pasuk for nun is shenemar. The pasuk for samach is shenemar. The next one right after the nun is samach. Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. So like because we just mentioned we skipped the nun, which is falling, there's somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Hashem picks up and holds up all the fallers. Amar Belezer Baravina, Gada Mashnemar B'Michal, Yodim Mashnemar B'Gavriel. Greater is what it says about the Malach Michal, even more than what it says about the Malach Gavriel. Dilu Michal Ksiv, V'Yo'ef Eli Echa Menestrafim. I think it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And that's referring to Michal. It's V'Yo'ef. There's like one flying movement, took one jump. Ilu Gabe Gavriel Ksiv, V'Ha'ish Gavriel Esher Iti B'Chazon, Batrila. Mu'af bi'yaf or bi'af. Gavriel, when he flew, you see there was two acts of flying. It took him two jumps. My mashma, the high echad Michal hu. How do you know that that first one, when it says bi'yaf, felt like echad minasraf, and that was Michael? I know that the next part is Gavriel, because it says Gavriel. He's the one that did the two jumps. But Michael, how do you know that echad means Michael? On Biyochanan, Asya echad echad. We have Xerish of echad echad. Ksiv hachav yoifelai echad minasrafim, uksiv hasam, he named Michael echad minasar marishonim, bala azreni. So the word echad is put with Michael elsewhere, so that's how we know this echad is referring to Michael. I'm sure there's a lot of hidden meaning by Michael being referred to with the word echad. A lot of hidden meaning there. Tana, the bracelet says, Michael ba'achas takes him one swoop. Gavriel b'shtayim takes him two swoops to get to somewhere. Aliyahu Navi, how does he get somewhere? B'arba, four. Umalach HaMaves b'shmona takes him four swoops. Baruch Hashem. So he gives a little bit extra time to be chozer b'tshuva. And Gavriel, who is Malach of Din, he an extra chance. Michal is one, because it's a Malach of Rachamim. So Hashem, whenever it comes to Din, he still gives us extra time to be chozer b'tshuva. Ubishas HaMageif, at a time of a plague, like probably like the Holocaust, something like that, Bachas. And the Malach HaMaves is much quicker. It's with one swoop, meaning there's not so much time. It takes a lot more to be saved at a time of a national plague as it would during normal and regular everyday day. Shkoyach. One day, maybe I was about to tell you the pshat of Rav Shlomo and this whole Gemara with David and Malach calling himself a chassid, but we didn't have time.
Wait, is there really no other...
Oh, wait, could we just discuss something for a second? One second. Tomorrow, I'm taking a lot of the guys out to Papagayos. Some of you are in that list, probably. So, could we do the shiur tomorrow at breakfast time? Like,
yes.
Get your breakfast and bring it to the classroom? Who could make it if we do it then?
Sephardi Minyan ends way later. About
so, could
nine.
You dive in Ashkenaz tomorrow? Just tomorrow? Jake, what do you say about tomorrow? Can you do that? Yeah, we'll get to bring your breakfast here.
It might be its own, but...
Can you do that?